Okay, if you open your Bible to Luke 24, I'm going to preach today from verse 46 to 53. Tell me when you're there. Yep, that was quick. Okay. This is after Jesus was resurrected, and just before he was about to ascend, he said these words. Thus it is written, thus it was necessary for the Christ and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. He led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And there were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. I want us to focus on the words of Jesus. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Jesus, when he died, he paid the price for our sins. And when we are forgiven and he washes us clean, he fills us with the Spirit. We become people of purity. Our sins are washed away and the power of sin is broken over our life so we can then live a pure life. We then also become principled through the Word of God. We understand what God stands for. We become people of principle. We have values and standards revealed in the Word of God. But Jesus' plan for his people, for every Christian in the church, is that we not only be purified from sin, and we not only be principled by living according to the word, but we also be powerful people. And God wants you as a Christian to know the power from on high in your life. He wants you to be empowered. And the word for power in the scripture has two words for powers. One is exousia, which is about power from position, but the other one here is the word dunamos, and that is where we get the word dynamite. There is an explosive power of God that Christians are meant to possess. When the church went from 0 to 3,000, it didn't increase, it exploded. And the reason for that was that at Pentecost, they had received what Jesus had promised. They had, those who were previously powerless had received his power. And these are the last instructions of Jesus. Before, he said to the disciples, before you do anything, wait until you've had this experience with the Holy Spirit where you have received the power of God upon your life. Jesus himself didn't start his ministry till he actually was empowered. The secret for the church was that they got empowered. And God wants to bring you to a place where nothing can stand against you from overcoming. That whatever the devil has against you, he may come against you and he will come against you, but you are always in the place where the devil may attack, but you always come out on top. You are an overcomer. You are a victor through Christ. Because, not anything because of you, but the power of God continues to move for you, continues to move against your enemies. The power of God. Actually, there's a power of God in the scriptures. Deuteronomy says, 8 says there's a power to get wealth. God's power from heaven can bring wealth to your life. There's a woman who had an issue of blood and she came and connected to Jesus. Her issue stopped and she got health. There's a power of God brings health to your life. The power of God is what makes us overcome all the obstacles the enemy puts in our way. And God wants to empower you so that you're not only an overcomer, but also you can bring deliverance to people who are stuck in the kingdom of darkness, who are afflicted by satanic powers. God wants to actually empower you so you can also lay hands on people and they experience deliverance through the power of God, because the power of God is on your life. Now, what is power? What is it to be empowered from heaven? What is it to have the power of God, the supernatural dunamos, exploding into your life so that the enemy can't stand against you? Sickness may visit, but it cannot stay. There's no lack because the power of God is working to bring resources to you. What is it to have the power of God in your life? I want to tell you, the power of God is not healing. The power of God is not speaking in tongues and manifestations. This is what the power of God is. The power of God is the Spirit of God upon you. Jesus says, wait, and I'll send you the promise of my Father upon you. And he says, tarry until you've had the experience. And many Christians are confused at this rate because the Holy Spirit has three works. The Holy Spirit is a person, a spiritual person who comes to us in our sin and reveals to us first that we need a Savior. You don't do that. The Holy Spirit does that. He is with you, John says. The Holy Spirit is with us to reveal our need for a Savior. And when we actually yield and say, I am a sinner, I need the forgiveness of Christ, and we yield and we accept Christ and we receive Him into our life, He is then in us. He comes to be in us. And when He is in us, He starts to change us. He starts to deal with that anger issue. He starts to deal with that rejection issue. He starts to change us from the inside out. And He produces the character and the life and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is the character of Jesus inside us. But that's not to be empowered. A lot of people say, oh, I'm Spirit-filled. If you go to John chapter 20, you see when Jesus rose, He came into the upper room. The disciples were being imprisoned by fear. They couldn't move forward because the power of fear was on their life. And in verse 22, Jesus came into the room. Praise God, He's still coming through walls and into rooms today. And He said to them, He says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Peace to you. And He says, receive the Holy Spirit. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. My Father has sent you. Verse 22 of John chapter 20. He says, peace to you as the Father has sent me. When they received the Holy Spirit, they were filled. Their temples, their bodies were filled with the Holy Spirit. But then in Luke chapter 24, here we have Jesus saying something. He says, wait till the Holy Spirit comes upon you in power. So you can be filled and be changed, but not empowered. Not empowered. And God wants the power of God to come upon your life. Because when the power of God comes upon your life, you don't have to change yourself. There is a change that starts to happen. I remember when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I just knew I was brand new. I just knew something had died and something new had been born. And I didn't struggle with what I was struggling with before. I was made new. If you go to 1 Samuel 10:6, it says about Saul, when he was anointed, that the Spirit of God will come upon you and you'll prophesy and be turned into another man. When the Spirit of God came upon Peter, he was a fearful, waffly, unpredictable man, and suddenly he was a bold, reliable, determined man, and nothing could stop him. What happened? People say, oh, it was the power of the resurrection. It was not. It was Pentecost power came into his life and changed what he could not change. It'll turn you into another man. Not everyone will like you when you're turned into another man. The Spirit of God is upon you, but it'll turn you into another man. I want to tell you, there is a person in the Scriptures. I feel there's a word for someone here today. His name was Gideon, and God called him to be an overcomer. God called him to be something in the kingdom of God. God called him to do something to bring deliverance to an entire nation. That's what the book of Judges is about, by the way. God he delights in raising deliverers of entire nations. And this man was called to that, to bring deliverance to Israel. But when God met him, he was fearful and just surviving. But in Judges chapter 6:35, he had this experience, and it said the Spirit of God came upon Gideon and he blew the trumpet, and suddenly he was thriving. He wasn't surviving, he was thriving, he was overcoming. And the key to it was he had his Pentecost. The Spirit of God came upon him and changed him into what God called him to be. This is why we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of God upon us, because it changes us into what God calls us to be. And it empowers us to do what you cannot do in the natural. You know, our job is to build the kingdom, not to build churches. And in Acts chapter 1, it says Jesus preached when he was resurrected, when he was right. It says for 40 days, he preached on the kingdom. That's all he did. He taught on the kingdom. And the disciples in verse 4, they come and say, are you going to restore the kingdom now? And Jesus says, it just seems like he doesn't answer them, but he does. He says, wait, and you'll receive power when the Spirit of God comes upon you. The kingdom of God and the baptism of the Holy Spirit are one and the same. Where the Spirit of God comes in power, God's kingdom is built. God's kingdom goes forward when the Spirit of God manifests in power, and never before. If you look through the Old Testament, whenever anyone's called to expand the kingdom or bring deliverance to the nation, always this experience of the Spirit of God coming upon them happens. And God wants the Spirit of God to be a conduit. You know, that God wants us, each of us, to be fruitful, and he doesn't want you to be barren. He wants your life. If there's an area of barrenness, it's like Hannah. She was barren, but God, who made her barren? It says God closed the womb, and there was a purpose for him making her barren. That area which was barren, she didn't have one baby, she had six babies. He touched that area of barrenness, and she became completely abundant in that area. The only purpose was that he wanted to demonstrate his power to make things that are barren abundant. God's plan for you is abundance of life, abundance and fruitfulness, that your life be full of the blessings of God. Full. How does that happen? I want to tell you, Isaiah is the end times book. It prophesies to us today more than any other book. And it says in Isaiah 32, the people are doing quite poorly. And it says, palaces are forsaken in verse 14. Bustling city is deserted. It's become like lairs full of wild jockeys. Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. What does that mean? It means if you're doing poorly and the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to start to be fruitful. Even if you're doing well and the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the fruitful field becomes a forest. You're going to do super well. The Holy Spirit, when he's poured out upon us, brings a fruitfulness. The church became fruitful when they had the Holy Spirit upon them. And if there's any area of your life that is barren, your relationships, maybe your health, your finances, that's the area where God wants to manifest his power and give you a testimony. That's the area where you need to pray, God, touch it with my power. I have a testimony like Hannah. That which is barren, that which was fruitless, has become fruitful and abundance. How does it happen? It's the power of God coming upon your life. Power of God. You know, some people, they have an orphan spirit. When Jesus, the power of God came upon him, some people, they can't. They hear and they read about the love of God. They read that they've become children of God, but they still have this thing in them where they feel rejected. They feel like orphans. When the Spirit of God came upon Jesus in Luke chapter 3, at the same time it came upon him, he heard the voice, "You are my beloved son. You are my son. I love you." When the Spirit of God comes upon your life, you'll never have an orphan spirit again. You're connected to heaven. There's a connectivity. You know you're loved. You feel the love and the pleasure of God on the back of your neck. There's no orphan spirit. It cannot stay. You know you're a child of heaven, and you're joyful. the Spirit of God comes, you get turned into another person. What is barren becomes fruitful. The kingdom of heaven goes forward. You know, there's a lot of same terminology in the scriptures for the same experience, but when Pentecost comes, the Spirit of God is poured upon you. You are then anointed. And the anointing breaks the yoke. And the anointing is God with you in power. Now, everyone says, well, God's with us all. He says, I'll never forsake you. He's not with everyone in power. But when the Spirit of God comes upon you, God is with you in power. And though enemies come, they cannot stay. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Word says there is liberty. There is liberty. You're free from everything when the Spirit of God's come upon your life, because that Spirit coming upon you is the anointing, and the Word of God says the anointing breaks the yoke. So you're not in captivity. You are free. You don't feel like an orphan. You feel, you know the love of God. And you know, it is so vital. It is so vital that we experience this. You know why it's so vital we experience this? You know, Paul was a genius. And he said, when I come to preach to you, I don't want to preach to you with just knowledge and human words, but I want to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit, lest your faith rest on something other than the power of God. He knew that people needed to see the demonstration of God's power in their life and in his ministry, lest they just become religious. We need power in the church. We need to see people being set free. We need to see miracles happening in the church. We need in Australia the same thing we have in Pakistan, where they can bring people that are demon-possessed. The demons get cast out. Their lives are changed. That needs to be in Australia. That needs to be here. There can't just be stories and testimonies overseas of little girls being healed of paraplegia. God wants that here. God wants the power. Paul said, I don't want to just preach to you or teach to you. There must be a demonstration. There must be manifestation in our churches and in our lives. It is so vital. The Bible says in Psalms 110, the people will volunteer in the day of your power. In other words, when the power of God starts to manifest, when the supernatural power of God starts to do things in people's lives that can't be explained, that I couldn't get a breakthrough in this area, but now God is moving that thing out of the way. I don't even know how it's happening. But I couldn't fix my marriage, and somehow it's now been fixed, and there's a work from heaven happening. There's a work of the Spirit happening in my life that I can't even explain, but it's good. When I'm sick and I can't get well by any doctor, but suddenly God comes supernaturally in the night and he touches me in my bed, and I wake up in the morning, I say, it's all gone. When the power of God is experienced, the people volunteer. You know what they volunteer? They volunteer to witness. They volunteer to tell other people. They just say, there's a church over there. I don't know what they preach. I don't know what their doctrine is, but all I know is I was tormented. I was oppressed. I was depressed. And God broke it all off my life. You need to go there. That's God's plan for his church. God wants his power to be working for you. He wants there to be a manifestation in your life that you say, this is not, what's going on in my life can't be explained. It can't be explained naturally. There's someone working for me from heaven that solves my problems, that makes way where there is no way. I have a testimony. There is a living God, and he's alive, and he's working with me. He's rolling stones away for me. He's making a way where there is no way. He's healing my body when the doctor says. God wants that for your life. He wants that. He wants that to be your testimony. How do you get that power? How do you get that testimony? How do you get that reality in your life? I want to tell you, there's a price to pay for power. There's a price to pay for power. Like this passage that I just preached from Luke, this is what God spoke to me this morning. He led them out. He said, you tarry until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he parted and he carried them up to heaven. They worshipped and returned to Jesus. So before Jesus went up, before he ascended, he called the disciples out and he blessed them. Now some people, they're content with blessing. And a lot of the Western church is just, they're happy to finish it there. They go to Jesus, and he does bless you. He does, man. It's wonderful that he does bless. I've been blessed by him. I'm the most blessed man alive. I always say that. I have been blessed. But so much of the Western church is settled for a gospel of blessing and prosperity and fulfillment and victory. God's going to do this for me. God's going to do that for me. God's going to bless my children. God's going to bless my home. He's going to bless. They're going to live in the blessings of God. But there's a place God wants to take you to that is beyond blessing. And it's into purpose. It's into kingdom purpose. These guys, yes, they were blessed, but they said there's a fulfillment. There's a call. I hear it on my life. There's something that I've got to do for the kingdom of God. There's something I've got to move into. I've got to have it of God. What did they have before they received at Pentecost? What drew the power to their life? I want to tell you. There's a hunger and a thirst that you need for God that goes beyond being blessed. There's a hunger and thirst where you're going to say, I've got to have the life of Jesus manifest in me. I actually got to have that power. I've got to have the testimony, and I'm hungry and I'm thirsty for it. Jesus said in John 7:38, and he looked at everything that was just religious, just everything that had a form without power that was going on. And they were reenacting Moses struck the rock and the power of God made the water flow. And they were reenacting that in the temple. They were teaching about it, but there was no present expectation. There was no present expectation. The same power that cracked that rock and made the water flow would happen today. And he got up and he said, come to me, all you who thirst, and out of your bellies living water will flow from you. I tell you, there has to be a hunger and a thirst for this power. There has to be a hunger and a thirst for the fullness. There has to be a desire that there's got to be more, that God, I'm not satisfied where I am. There's got to be a desire and a hunger. Isaiah 44 says this, I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. Now listen, this is written to a people who live in the desert. And he says, I will pour him water on him who is thirsty. Have you ever seen someone who is thirsty in the desert? They're desperate for water. All they think about is water. All they want is water. You can't satisfy them with anything else but water. And there's a thing that God, there's a place God's bringing his church to now. People in the church now, he's doing it where people are getting to a place where they're so dissatisfied with just really, they're so dissatisfied what's going on. They're actually hungry and they're thirsting. And they feel there's something in the spirit. They feel there's a visitation on offer and they're starting to thirst. God's creating that. They're desiring more. But that thirst, there has to be a desperation. You have to get to the place where you're dissatisfied with the mediocrity. You're dissatisfied, even if you feel like your church is successful. You're dissatisfied with it, but you want something more. Even if you feel like your life is successful, you say, oh, I want to have this testimony. I want to have all that God has for me. I want to have this power. I want to have this power from on high. I want to have testimonies of the miracles of God working in my life. You've got to be hungry for it. You've got to be hungry. And you've got to press in. And what they did, they wait. And they manifested their desperation in prayer. They went to the upper room and they prayed. And they got shut in with God. And for 10 days, God, I imagine in those 10 days, God convicted them of everything that was not wrong in their life. Everything was wrong in their life. He convicted them. But they prayed. And they prayed. They kept praying. They kept praying. Where there is much prayer, there'll be much of the Holy Spirit. Where there is much of the Holy Spirit, there'll be an ever-increasing desire to pray. John Wesley said that. Jesus told a parable about a woman who came to an unrighteous judge. She kept seeking him until he finally said, I'm going to give it to you. Jesus said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask? He's going to make you desperate. And he's going to bring you to a place where you just cry it out and cry it out and cry it out. You say, even after I quit my job, I'm going to lock myself in my room for 3 days till I get this power, till my life is empowered. I want to tell you, you're going to get it. I give you some good advice. The power is not cheap. The power of God is not easy to get up, but there is no asking without him opening the door, him answering. There is no seeking without finding. He says, seek and you will find if you seek him with all your heart. You know what Jesus said in what Hebrews says in chapter 1, verse 8? Some chapters, some verses, we just should know them off by heart. If you want to know the power of God in your life, this is one of them. This just should roll off your tongue. It says, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the gladness, oil of gladness more than all your companions. You've loved righteousness. You've hated lawlessness. You want the anointing of God in your life. God will empower you, but there has to be. You know, the Holy Spirit, He wants to rest upon your life, and he comes with fire and wind, and he wants to rest upon your life, but he actually looks for a resting place. And you know what that resting place is? It's not knowledge. It's not motivation. He looks because his primary personality characteristic is holiness. He's the Holy Spirit. He looks for holiness. And holiness, Jesus says, loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, the Holy Spirit rested upon him always. There's an alignment that the Holy Spirit looks for, and it's to do with having a life which is lined up with heaven and desires to be holy. Holy means to be set apart from the world, set apart from idols, set apart for God, and it means to love righteousness, to desire righteousness. And if you desire righteousness, you hate lawlessness. One of the things this same-sex marriage did last year, it actually exposed the church's lack of passion for righteousness, because the thing about homosexuality is it's lawlessness. And Jesus hated it. He had a zeal against things that God was against, and he was willing to take a stand. He was willing to turn things over in the temple and be unpopular, turn the temple over, drive people out when he saw unrighteous lawlessness. We're supposed to be like that. But if we get zealous for what God's zealous for, righteousness in our relationships, order, lawlessness, submission, we want to come into the order of God, that means that our hearts are then clean, and the Holy Spirit will only rest upon something which has been cleansed. So God wants to empower you. God wants to empower you. He wants to give you his power. You know, just finally, I'll say, if you want the power of God in your life, there is one thing that you are going to know. You'll be empowered. You'll see God move mountains. You'll have testimonies. There's something moving for me from heaven, which is not of this earth. You'll be able to tell people. Maybe you've been healed. Maybe there's a provision coming to your life that the world can't explain. The devil can't stand against you. You know, the devil comes against all, but you say, every attack of the devil, God deals with it. God deals with it. God deals with it. If you're going to have that power, you're actually going to know suffering. And you're actually going to know weakness. Just listen to what Paul says. He knew about the power. And everywhere he went, he said, all I know, everywhere, the Holy Spirit says to me, there's infirmities and afflictions and adversity waiting for me every place I go. And he was many times, God would use him and move powerfully, and then he was stoned. And he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. When you know the power of his resurrection, when the power of God is upon your life and in your life, the fellowship of his sufferings are also with you. The two always go together. The two always go together. Why does God bring, if you're empowered, why does he bring sufferings and infirmities and thorns? What's the purpose of it all? If you didn't have them, you'd get proud. It's to keep you humble. It's to keep you dependent. That's why Paul says, I rejoice in my infirmities and suffer my weaknesses, that the power of God may rest upon my life. Got to keep you humble. Some of the things that will come against you when you get empowered, Satan will attack you, even to other people. Jesus was empowered, but people left him often. People spoke against him. At the end, Paul just had a few. He said, everyone's left me, even Demas. He said, I feel there's a pressure on my life. Sometimes Paul's life was hard and it was difficult, even though he was fruitful. And he said, we're whipped, we're beaten, we're stoned. Everywhere we go, it's hard. But you know, sometimes it is hard. But you know what the hardness and the difficult times are for? He says, I'm hard pressed on every side. Hard pressed. There's a thing called an olive, and it's got the oil in it, which represents the Holy Spirit. But to get the oil out, you've got to press it. It's the pressing that makes the oil flow. It's the pressing that makes the anointing flow. I feel today there are some people here who may feel discouraged. There are some people here who are actually hungry for more. There's some people here, you feel on the verge. Maybe the Christian life is too hard for you. Sometimes you feel like even quitting. Oh, God's given me this word today. You don't need to be motivated. You don't need to be hyped. You need to receive what he promised. You need to receive the power of God upon your life. And God has been stirring something in you, a quest for more, a quest for something. God's just been creating it in you, just a desire for something more. You want to have a testimony. God wants to bring you to that place. And there's other people here that you're on the verge of being satisfied just with what's going on religiously. God does not want us in a place where we're satisfied. There's nothing good about being at ease in Zion. God wants us to stay hungry. God wants to stay seeking him. God wants to stay that with his power continue to work and flow in our life. If you just feel that God has brought you to that place today. And if you are in a place where there's problems and they're ongoing and they just keep going on and they never stop and you never get victory, the problem is powerlessness. That's not God's plan. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but out of them all I deliver them. God's people are meant to be overcomers, are meant to be, we're meant to have a testimony. Yes, the devil come, but I've got a testimony, I've got a victory. If it's ongoing, the problem is you haven't been empowered. God wants to give you his power today. God does not want you to stay in that place of mediocrity. Or I'm constantly defeated. If you're there, I want you to stand. I want you to stand. Some people here also, you've come in here today. You think, I want that power. I need that power. But I want to tell you, the power, Pentecost, always follows the cross. That you need to be forgiven first. You need to come to the cross and receive Jesus Christ into your life as your Savior for your sin. That's you. You need to come forward at the end. Just kneel here and God's going to touch you. But if you want the power of God, I didn't want to preach that. I just want to let God move. If you want the power of God in your life, I want you to lift your hands now. I want you to lift your hands now. If you know there's something going on that's defeating you, that you're not getting victory in an area, that's powerlessness. God wants to do something. God wants to bring you into the place where you receive that promise. And he says, you wait and tarry and you'll receive. Lift your head. Start to praise him. They started to praise him. They started to bless him. They started to, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Everything satisfied. Everything mediocre. I command you to leave today in Jesus' name. Lord, release your power today on those people. Lord, release the promise today on people. Father, you said, Lord, you'll satisfy the mouths of the hungry. Lord, those that are thirsting, Lord, touch them. I just feel some people, you want to come forward today. You want to come forward. You want to kneel across. You just want to kneel here as the music plays. Just show God that you're hungry, that you're not satisfied. I'm not going to lay hands on you, but I feel God's going to do something for you. If you're just at that place where you know, God, I just can't have more of this. I want more of you. Or there's something that's saying it keeps defeating my life. God, I want your power to come into. I want you to baptize me in your Holy Spirit. I don't want to be filled. I want to know what the power is. You come forward today and God's going to move. God's going to move.